instruments were designed to study. NASA says it's still investigating why communications were lost. For NPR News, I'm Joe Palca.
Secretary of State Marco Rubio has ordered diplomatic correspondents to stop using the Calibri font and return to the more traditional Times New Roman. The move reverses a Biden administration shift to the typeface that Rubio calls wasteful, confusing, and unbefitting the dignity of U.S. government documents. In a cable sent to all U.S. embassies and consulates, Rubio said the shift was the result of misguided diversity, equity, and inclusion policies pursued by his predecessor. He says the change cost the State Department $145,000, but offered no evidence. I'm Ryland Barton. You're listening to NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Lodestar Foundation, inspired by the principle that helping those in need is a path to a happier, healthier, and more meaningful life. Learn more at lodestarfoundation.org. This is NPR.
Good evening. You're listening to All Things Considered on Kansas Public Radio. I'm Joe Blubaugh, filling in for Laura Lorson. Hope you're having a wonderful Wednesday. This evening, it's going to get chilly, down to about 29 under some increasing clouds, but a much warmer day tomorrow, high near 53 under mostly sunny skies. In Junction City, it's 43, Manhattan 41, and here in Lawrence, it's 38.
It's All Things Considered.
Things Considered from NPR News.
It's your place for NPR News from the University of Kansas. This is Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 in Lawrence and 99.5 in Manhattan. And you can listen online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from Blue Collar Press. Located in Lawrence, Kansas, Blue Collar Press helps businesses and creatives build their brands through merchandising. From design to production to fulfillment. More information at bluecollarpress.com.
If you're looking for a great way to get into the holiday season, it's KPR's annual Big Band Christmas Saturday Night. The Kansas City Jazz Orchestra will serve up Yuletide songs and some classic Kansas City jazz. Big Band Christmas is always a hot ticket, and they're on sale now at Liberty Hall and at Ticketmaster. Get the scoop at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from the Topeka Zoo, presenting Zoo Lights, holidays from around the world, November 21st through December 31st, now with private igloos for rent. Reservations and tickets at topekazoo.org.
And if you're going to head to Zoo Lights, it's going to be a little chilly this evening. Look for a low of around 29 this evening, with some increasing cloudiness. Then for tomorrow, a little bit warmer, high of 53 under a mostly sunny sky. For tomorrow night, partly cloudy and a low of 30. And then for Friday, partly sunny and a high of 39. In Junction City, it's 43. Manhattan, it's 40. And in Lawrence, it's 38.
Support for NPR.
This is NPR News.
A new report from Amnesty International documents, quote, cruel, inhuman, and degrading treatment at two Florida detention facilities, including what's better known as Alligator Alcatraz.
Ultimately, these two facilities need to be shut down, and the people inside need to be released into their home communities.
That story tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
And you can tune in to Morning Edition tomorrow morning and every weekday morning from 5 to 9 on KPR.
Become a KPR sponsor and your business can harness the trust and credibility of public radio. 82% of listeners take action because of an announcement heard on NPR. Learn more at sponsorship.kansaspublicradio.org.
And coming up, we've got local, regional, and national headlines on KPR and NPR News. It's currently 39. judge appointed by President Trump. NPR's Carrie Johnson says the judge attended a Trump rally last night in Pennsylvania.
Judge Emil Bovey now serves with life tenure on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit. Earlier in his career, he helped President Trump beat back multiple criminal cases and ran on the appearance of impropriety and refrained from political activity. The court had no comment, but Bovey told a reporter at the event he was a citizen who wanted to hear the president speak.
That's Carrie Johnson. This is NPR.
For KPR News, I'm Joe Blubaugh. A Kansas lawmaker is questioning the way three state universities use $12 million of special funding. State officials say the money is meant to help Fort Hays State, Emporia State, and Pittsburgh State keep up with the larger universities like the University of Kansas. Republican Representative Troy Waymaster says that the universities incorrectly used it to pay for salaries and wages.
And if we're going to continue funding this and build it into their base budget, as all three regional universities have asked for, then we need to have language clarifying what those dollars are supposed to be used for.
Waymaster says the fund was created to help the smaller universities pay for things like economic development. University leaders were not present in the meeting to respond, but the initial request for the funding did not exclude spending it on salaries. The stated goals include improving student graduation rates, recruiting people to the area, and strengthening in-demand programs like healthcare degrees. The Kansas Board of Education is asking state lawmakers to pass a law that would make it easier to punish drivers who ignore the stop signs on stopped school buses. The law would allow school districts to install cameras on the buses that would record the license plate numbers of vehicles that ignore the stop signs. The registered owners of the vehicles would be fined by mail. Kansas Education Commissioner Randy Watson told KSNT the violation often goes unpunished. In 2020, a first grader in Abilene was struck and killed by a car that ignored a stop sign. And the Kansas Senate's first piece of proposed legislation for 2026 seeks to honor Charlie Kirk. According to the Kansas Reflector, the Republican resolution proposes establishing Charlie Kirk Free Speech Day on October the 14th, the late political activist's birthday. Kirk was shot and killed in September while speaking at a Utah college campus. The Senate's resolution describes Kirk's legacy as an example of the importance of free speech, the First Amendment, and civil debate. The resolution also condemns Kirk's killing and extends condolences to his family. It has the support of all 31 Republican senators. Increasing clouds, a low of 29, and currently 38 degrees in Lawrence. For KPR News, I'm Joe Blubaugh.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
From the University of Kansas, it's Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence, and 89.9 in Atchison. And you can listen online at kansaspublicradio.com.
Support for KPR comes from the University of Kansas, creating the future one discovery at a time. Information about KU programs and research is at ku.edu.
And coming up just in moments on KPR's Evening Classical with Destiny from 7 to 9 p.m., it'll be like coming home, sweet home. The King's Singers will warm your heart during this cold winter season, and Leroy Anderson's Sleigh Ride will make you giggle. There'll also be some noble Christmas brass fantasies, along with Romanoff's symphonic dances. They're on the menu as well. That's KPR's Evening Classical with Destiny, coming up just moments here at 7 o'clock. And then on KPR 2, it's the Moth Radio Hour.
Support for KPR comes from Kansas Tree Care. Winter dormancy is the ideal season for pruning mature trees, especially elms and oaks. More information at kansastreecare.com or by calling 785-843-TREE.
Our forecast for tonight, increasing clouds with a low of around 29. For tomorrow, mostly sunny and a little bit warmer at the high near 53. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low of 30. And then for Friday night,
are for Friday, partly sunny with a high near 39. In Junction City, 42. Atchison, it's 34. And in Lawrence, it's 37.
This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Elsa Chang.
And I'm Scott Detrow. This division.
Ella McKay, a new comedy from James L. Brooks, starring Emma Mackey, Jamie Lee Curtis, with Albert Brooks and Woody Harrelson. Ella McKay, in theaters this Friday. From Total Wine and More, where people can find wines, spirits, and beers for holiday gatherings at Total Wine and More. Spirits not sold in Virginia and North Carolina, available to adults 21 or older. From Procter & Gamble, maker of ZzzQuil, with a range of products designed to relieve occasional sleeplessness to help people fall asleep. Learn more at ZzzQuil.com. And from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation at macfound.org.
We're live. We're local. We are Kansas Public Radio. From the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Oldsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3, and of course you can listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org, or you can tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Audio Reader, an audio information service for anyone who has difficulty reading standard print. Grateful for the generous support of all volunteers and donors. More information at reader.ku.edu.
Many thanks to the one and all who made a gift during KPR's winter quiet drive. We finished up with almost $41,000 pledged by our listeners to support KPR's award-winning programming. But there's still time for you to join the KPR community of listener members. Just visit kansaspublicradio.org to do your part by making a year-end donation today. And thank you.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Art Guild, with an opportunity to shop for holiday gifts at their annual art fair this Saturday and Sunday at the Cider Gallery. Details.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. Attorney General Pam Bondi says the FBI and the Coast Guard seized an oil tanker off the coast of Venezuela. NPR's Quill Lawrence reports the U.S. has sanctioned Venezuela's oil industry.
Bondi posted a video on social media showing U.S. forces boarding the vast oil tanker by helicopter. She said U.S. agents executed a seizure warrant on board and that the tanker has been sanctioned for years and is known to smuggle crude oil from Venezuela and also Iran. President Trump has ratcheted up pressure on Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro, whom he accuses of narco-trafficking. The U.S. has assembled the largest naval fleet in decades off the Venezuelan coast and offered $50 million for Maduro's arrest. This news came as pro-democracy activist Maria Corina Machado snuck out of hiding in Venezuela en route to Norway to collect the Nobel Peace Prize. Quill Lawrence, NPR News.
A federal judge in California has ruled that the Trump administration must stop its deployment of the National Guard to Los Angeles and return control of the troops to the state. It's the latest in a series of legal rulings against President Trump's deployments, as NPR's Kat Lonsdorf reports.
Trump seized control of California's Guard back in June against Governor Gavin Newsom's wishes and deployed more than 4,000 troops to the streets of Los Angeles to protect federal immigration facilities and officers. That number has dropped to around 100 still in the city, but the administration has extended that federalization several times, most recently until February, saying it's still necessary. The administration also attempted to send California troops into Portland, Oregon. In his ruling to end the federalization, U.S. District Judge Charles Breyer said that the administration's argument to, quote, hold unchecked power to control state troops would wholly upend the federalism that is at the heart of our system of government. Kat Lonsdorf, NPR News, Washington.
Stocks rallied today after the Federal Reserve cut interest rates. NPR's Scott Horsley reports the Dow Jones Industrial Average jumped nearly 500 points, or 1%.
Investors cheered when the central bank voted to lower its benchmark interest rate by a quarter percentage point. Fed Chairman Jerome Powell says the rate cut is designed to boost the slowing job market, even though prices are still climbing faster than the central bank would like.
Everyone should understand that we're committed to 2% inflation and we will deliver 2% inflation. But it's a complicated, unusual, difficult situation where the labor market is also under pressure.
The rate cut was widely expected, but the vote was not unanimous. Three members of the rate-setting committee dissented, with two voting to hold rates steady, while a third, President Trump's recent pick, wanted an even bigger half-point cut. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
The Pacific Northwest is bracing for another round of heavy rain, flooding, and evacuations. After a powerful storm hit the region yesterday, the storm's already caused power outages, flooding, and school closures in parts of Oregon and Washington. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from the Kauffman Foundation, providing access to opportunities that help people achieve financial stability, upward mobility, and economic prosperity, regardless of race, gender, or geography. Kauffman.org. This is Kansas Public Radio.
Stardate December 10th. Storms on the sun can cause all kinds of problems. They can knock out satellites and black out power grids. They can interfere with GPS and disrupt some radio broadcasts. They can even have an impact on human health. Solar storms happen when the sun's magnetic field gets tangled up. Lines of magnetic force can snap, then reconnect. That produces outbursts of radiation and charged particles. When the particles hit Earth, they're funneled toward the surface by our planet's own magnetic field. And that's what causes the problems. Among the health concerns, particles and radiation can penetrate deeper into the atmosphere around the magnetic poles. That zaps anyone who's flying at high altitudes in those regions. It's not a fatal dose, but it's enough to cause concerns. So airlines divert flights to avoid exposing passengers and crew. There's also evidence that these bouts of space weather can boost people's blood pressure. In one study, researchers in China looked at 500,000 blood pressure readings taken over 6 years, and they found a definite jump around the time of solar storms, especially among women and those with hypertension. An American team found similar results among older men. There's no consensus about how space weather might cause blood pressure to spike. For now, all we know is that stormy skies on the sun can cause lots of problems for people on Earth. We have sky-watching tips and much more about our amazing universe in Stardate magazine. Details at stardate.org. For the University of Texas at Austin McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
In Dulce Jubilo here on KPR by Samuel Scheidt with the Gyad Brass Ensemble. Happy Wednesday. It's the midweek, folks, and hopefully you're getting into that Christmas spirit. I've got a beautiful home sweet home in about 45 minutes. I'm Destiny. Glad you're here with me. I've got a big announcement for myself. It's about yours truly. But first, we should listen to some Brahms, indeed. I love this piano quintet. It is quite dramatic, and it's a pretty recent group, actually, the Pacifica Quartet, with Menachem Pressler at the piano. I would love to know what you think of it. Sit back and enjoy. It's about 45 minutes, now on KPR.
Thank you. Thank you.
so ominous in some parts here on Kansas Public Radio. The opposite of the Christmas spirit, Brahms Piano Quintet with the Pacifica Quartet and Menachem Pressler on piano. Don't worry, I have a little one of my favorite Christmas gems coming up in about 5 minutes. But first, I'd like to tell you about Thursday evening, Classics Live, and then I'll tell you my announcement. A Rule Joyce, Doreen Mirandi recital from this past year. Tango Etudes from Piazzolla. Yes, perfect for Thursdays. The Irish tune from County Derry, Downy Boy. Variations on the Carnival of Venice. It's all for saxophone and piano, featuring sax player Vince Ganoyak and pianist Ellen Summer. Thursday evening at 7 for Classics Live. My announcement, I'm moving to the mornings. Indeed I am. Cordelia, she's great. I'm so happy for her. She's retiring. That is so exciting. You'll still hear her on Classics Live, and I know we'll wrangle her back here. But I'll be excited to head to the mornings. And in a way, it's like going home sweet home. Ha ha. That's what we're going to listen to right now by the King Singers on KPR.
Mid pleasures and palaces, though I may a charm from the sky seems to have us there, we've soared through the world, is not met with elsewhere.
Home Sweet Home by the King's Singers here on KPR. Beautiful music indeed. Indeed, indeed. And support for classical music on KPR comes from the Topeka Zoo, hosting Toast at 10, a New Year's Eve celebration at the zoo with a plated dinner, entertainment, silent auction, and champagne toast at 10 p.m. Tickets at topekazoo.org, and the Topeka Symphony presenting the Snowman concert Wednesday, December 17th. Featuring the animated film The Snowman and holiday favorites brought to life by the symphony. More information and tickets available at topekasymphony.org. Ooh, Christmas time. I can't get out of this hour without playing just a little bit of one of my absolute favorite things. Who wants to guess what it is? It's just a snippet on KPR.
You want to know what's going on in the world, not just the politics and breaking news, but the music, the art, the culture. Morning Edition from NPR News is here for all of it.
That is Miley Cyrus keeping the world on its toes. The new album.
That's Keanu Reeves and Alex Winter. They are in a new production.
Well, Lin-Manuel Miranda, thanks for the time and congratulations on 10 years.
Start your weekday mornings with us and catch conversations you might not expect.
Morning Edition is here for you on KPR from 5 to 9 a.m. Support for classical music on KPR comes from the Lawrence Civic Choir, presenting a festival of joy, featuring a variety of choral classics, Saturday, December 13th at 7:30 p.m. at First United Methodist. More at Lawrence Civic Choir's Facebook page. And this is Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas for KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Ellsberg Junction, City 91.3 and KANQ Chanute. Online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell those smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. Ukrainian officials are expected to present new peace proposals to U.S. negotiators. This comes ahead of talks with leaders from about 30 countries supporting Ukraine's efforts to end Russia's nearly four-year-old full-scale invasion. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has objected to a proposal to cede land to Russia as part of a peace deal. President Trump says that Zelensky has to be realistic about the war.
There was a poll that came out, 82%. Of the people are demanding a settlement be made, Ukrainian people. They want to see a settlement be made. I understand that. They're losing thousands and thousands of people a week. They want to see it ended.
Foreign military aid for Ukraine has declined this year. Meanwhile, Russia shows no sign of budging in its demands for land and a weakened Ukrainian military. Lawmakers on Capitol Hill are urging the Pentagon not to go through with plans to sever relations between the U.S. military and Scouting America. NPR's Graham Smith reports.
A bipartisan group of 16 Congress members wrote to Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth, asking him not to kick scout groups off of military bases as detailed in memos reviewed by NPR. They say it would harm the children of service members. They also object to his stripping congressionally mandated medical and logistical support from next summer's Scout Jamboree. Hegseth's draft memo says the Scouts have become a, quote, genderless organization that no longer provides boy-friendly spaces and that helping the Jamboree would harm national security. Other lawmakers say Scout families are writing in, concerned about the plans to break this 100-year-old bond. Graham Smith, NPR News.
Venezuela's government has criticized the Nobel Peace Prize awarded in Oslo to the regime's main opposition leader, Maria Corina Machado. Machado did not make it to Norway in time for the awards ceremony. The prize was handed over to her daughter on her behalf. Julia Carnero has the latest.
In a live TV broadcast, Venezuela's Vice President, Delcy Rodriguez, called the Nobel Peace Prize a total failure and compared the ceremony to a funeral.
Fracaso total, el show fracasó.
The lady did not show up, Rodriguez said. They say it's because she was afraid, because people protested on the streets in Norway, because this prize is stained with blood. She referred to protests on the eve of the ceremony, when crowds denounced Maria Corina Machado's alignment with U.S. President Donald Trump as he ramps up his aggressive military campaign against Venezuela. The Nobel Peace Laureate even dedicated the prize to Trump when she was named to receive it for her struggle against Venezuela's authoritarian regime. For NPR News, I'm Julia Carneiro.
The U.S. stock market neared its all-time high today after the Federal Reserve cut its main interest rate. The S&P 500 climbed more than 0.6%, just shy of its all-time high set in October. You're listening to NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from Imaginable Futures, funding programs in the U.S. with the goal of ensuring young children and their parents get the education they need to thrive. Learn more at imaginablefutures.com. This is Kansas Public Radio.
Kansas and tall grass prairies are synonymous. Keeping the remaining grasslands healthy and vibrant is the aim of this KU graduate researcher.
Hi, I'm Reb Bryant. I'm a PhD candidate at the University of Kansas, and I look at how we can use soil fungi from native prairies to restore and reconstruct these important ecosystems across Kansas.
Some call tall grass prairies the most endangered ecosystem in all of North America. Why should we care if these prairies are disappearing?
These tall grass prairies, while being beautiful and having inherent value in and of themselves, provide a lot of ecosystem services for us as humans and for the environment. So they have these deep roots that filter the water, hold the soil in place, but also beautiful resources for pollinators like our monarch butterflies, our native bees. And we've seen the consequences of tilling these prairies and leaving that soil exposed. So it's really important that we both conserve the prairies that we have and expand those prairies into places like retired crop fields.
How much of the tall grass prairies are left?
So there's less than 4% of the tall grass prairie remaining. And so what we're trying to do is restore lands that have previously been tall grass prairie and try to expand that number.
How is your research making a difference?
Yeah, so I work with these fungi called mycorrhizal fungi that partner with plants and help them find nutrients in the soil. And oftentimes, the plants that we're trying to bring back to the prairie are missing those partners. So in my research, we are trying to find ways to bring these native partners from untilled or intact prairies into these restorations where they're missing those partners.
For more information about graduate research, visit graduate.ku.edu or our website at kansaspublicradio.org. For Research Matters, I'm Steve Kincaid.
Paul Creston's Fanfare for the Paratroopers here on KPR, George Mester and the London Phil. I'm Destiny. Thanks for being here. This is the second hour of Evening Classical, and I keep playing fanfares because I want to get your attention. I have an announcement. I'm moving to the morning shows. Yay! Cordelia is deservedly retiring after a beautiful career. I'm so happy for her, and I cannot wait. I cannot wait to be on in the mornings. It's going to be super fun. Thank you, all of you listeners, for making this show possible. You are the best. Make sure you start tuning in the mornings, too. Well, it is around Christmas time, so I've got a little Christmas brass fantasy on six carols coming your way, but also, if you're not in the Christmas mood, Symphonic Dances by Rachmaninoff. A little something for everyone. Let's do the Christmas fantasies right now first. Richard Peasley's composition. I've got Thomas Adkins and the Chamber Brass Choir. And it's, well, it's rather jazzy. I hope you like it on KPR.
Thank you. Thank you. Isn't that nice? Here on KPR, Christmas Brass, Fantasies on Six Carols, Thomas Atkins conducting the Chamber Brass Choir. Richard Peasley's composition. Sorry, Bob, I'm stealing your Jazz in the Night music. But I couldn't help it. Oh, I really wanted to play it. It's so fun. All right. I've got to thank some of our great sponsors here on Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence and 91.3 Junction City. Support for classical music on KPR comes from the Holiday Farmers Market, featuring over 50 local vendors and holiday activities. Saturday, December 13th, 9 to 4 p.m. 9 a.m., that is, to 4 p.m. at the Douglas County Fairgrounds. More at lawrencefarmersmarket.org. Speaking of jazz, and Saturday, December 13th, KPR's annual Big Band Christmas! Woohoo! You're going to hear music like we just listened to. It's going to be epic. You better be there. It's going to be fun. Get your tickets on sale at Liberty Hall or Ticketmaster.com. And this is made possible in part by Dr. Stephen H. Chronister, Healing Smiles of Topeka. All right, if you're not in the Christmas spirit, here's half an hour of Rachmaninoff Symphonic Dances. Charles Dutoit conducting the Montreal Symphony Orchestra on KPR. Rachmaninoff Symphonic Dances here on Kansas Public Radio, Charles Dutoit conducting the Montreal Symphony Orchestra. I'm Destiny. Thanks so much for being here with me this evening. I've had a lovely couple of hours with you. Please help me plan my Saturday show, Classics by Request, from 1 to 4. It's really Classics by Request. So let me know what you'd like to hear. Do you have any favorite holiday tango tunes? I played one last week. It was an epic hit. Super fun. Let me know what you come up with. All right, Jazz in the Night up next after the news on KPR.
It's Michelle Martin. Every weekday morning, my Morning Edition co-host and I have some questions.
What do you say to that concern from voters that there needs to be...
Can this squarely be laid on the feet of the government shutdown, or are there deeper problems?
Do you agree it's important for government officials to be truthful before Congress?
Get information, context, accountability on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Morning Edition is here for you weekdays on KPR from 5 to 9 a.m. This is Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas. We're KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, and KANQ Chanute at 90.3. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. Farmers in the Midwest are crunching the numbers to see if President Trump's $12 billion aid package will keep them afloat next year. NPR's Kirk Siegler reports from South Dakota that many say they need financing now.
These bridge payments, as the administration is calling them, are meant to offset the effects of the president's trade war and tariffs that have left American soybeans here in the bins and not exported to China. The aid is expected to arrive by early March, but farmers like John Kipley say they need the money right now.
You can't take that to the bank and tell them that you're going to get this bridge payment, and they'll ask you how much. Nobody knows.
Kipley says banks won't lend because they know farmers will still be in the red next season. One estimate at a farmers' union conference here showed that's the case for close to half of all the farms in South Dakota, where many family farms without capital could soon be out of business. Kirk Siegler, NPR News, here in South Dakota.
Canada is launching a sweeping new initiative in a bid to attract highly skilled foreign workers, including those holding H-1B visas in the U.S. As NPR's Jackie Northam reports, the move comes as the Trump administration tightens immigration laws.
The Canadian government has pledged roughly $1 billion over the next few years to recruit scientists, researchers, and other specialists from all over the world. It's an effort to strengthen what it calls the country's innovation ecosystem and make its universities more competitive. Ottawa is also introducing a fast-track program for people currently or previously holding a U.S. H-1B visa, many of which are skilled tech workers. The Trump administration recently raised the fee for an H-1B visa to $100,000. Canadian universities have also been actively recruiting foreign-born professors and researchers from U.S. institutions. Jackie Northam, NPR News.
A federal judge has approved the release of grand jury materials from the 2019 sex trafficking case against the late sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. The Justice Department had requested the records be made public under a new law passed by Congress. NPR's Ryan Lucas reports.
The Epstein Files Transparency Act, passed by Congress last month, compels the Justice Department to release by December 19th nearly all of the investigative files of the late sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. In response to a department request, U.S. District Judge Richard Berman has approved the release of grand jury materials from the investigation into Epstein by federal prosecutors in New York. Epstein died in a federal lockup there in 2019 while awaiting trial. Now all three judges overseeing Epstein-related grand jury materials have signed off on making those records public, while also ensuring that victim-related personal information remains protected. Ryan Lucas, NPR News, Washington.
The Federal Reserve lowered its benchmark interest rate by a quarter percentage point for a third consecutive time today. This is NPR News from Washington. Denmark will compensate thousands of indigenous women in Greenland over the cases of forcible contraception dating back to the 1960s. The Danish Health Ministry said women who were given contraception against their knowledge or consent between 1960 and 1991 can apply for individual payouts of about $46,000. Greenland is a semi-autonomous territory of Denmark. Many of the people were teenagers at the time. A FIFA World Cup game is already sparking controversy. Egypt and Iran are set to play in Seattle next June. The date coincides with the city's annual Pride festivities, and organizers had previously planned for the match to be part of the celebration. NPR's Becky Sullivan has more.
Seattle's annual Pride Fest has long taken place the last weekend of June. Local organizers said a World Cup match set for Seattle that Friday would be a rare opportunity to make an impact on the subject of LGBTQ rights. But that was before FIFA announced which teams would play. Egypt and Iran are two conservative countries in which LGBTQ people can face persecution, jail, or in Iran, sometimes the death penalty. Both countries' football federations have objected to the Pride festivities. They're raising complaints directly with FIFA, which did not respond to a request for comment. Seattle organizers tell NPR they intend to move forward as planned with the Pride programming outside the stadium that day. Becky Sullivan, NPR News.
A San Francisco woman gave birth inside a Waymo robo-taxi while on her way to the hospital. A spokesperson says the company's rider support team detected unusual activity inside the vehicle and alerted 911. It arrived safely at the hospital before emergency services. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Charles Stewart Mott Foundation. For nearly a century, supporting efforts to promote a just, equitable, and sustainable society. More at Mott.org. And the listeners who support this NPR station.
Summertime, my girlfriend is the best. She spends all her time with me. We barely ever rest. But when the season turns to snow, my girl I cannot find. I ask myself, where does she go? Now the answer's on my mind. I think my girlfriend is an elf. I know I shouldn't pry, but I just can't help myself. I'm a curious guy. Every year when the season turns to snow, I stop and ask myself, where did my pretty baby go? I think my girlfriend is an elf, working for Santa Claus this year. I think my girlfriend is a sprite. Whenever it's December, she leaves my bed at night and swears she don't remember. Just the other day, I found a hat under the bed. It had a puffy ball on top and it was colored red. I think my girlfriend is an elf working for Santa this year. Well, every year on Christmas Eve, my girl just disappears. And you know, to think of it, she's got some pretty big ears. I think my girlfriend is an imp. It sickens me to know. I think that Santa is a pimp. Boy, I love her so. Even though my baby's barely 4'3", she's always on the naughty list. And girl, it's just for me. I think my girlfriend is an elf, working for Santa Claus this year. Tell him about it, tell him about it, tell him about it. I think my girlfriend is an elf. I know I shouldn't pry, but I just can't help myself. I'm a curious guy.
every year when the season turns to snow, I stop and ask myself, where did my pretty baby go? I think my girlfriend is an elf working for Santa Claus this year. I said my girlfriend is an elf working for Santa Claus this year. I think my girlfriend is an elf working for Santa Claus this year.
My girlfriend is an elf, opening tonight's Jazz in the Night on KPR. That's trumpeter, singer, and songwriter Benny Benack with the Stephen Fifke Big Band kicking things off here on Jazz in the Night on Kansas Public Radio. I'm Bob McWilliams. We've got vibraphonist Bobby Hutcherson up next, a terrific date he did in 1966. And new recordings, too, in this next set from Neil Gray, a little bit later from Michael Deese, and from the Vinyl Vault, a short-lived but marvelous tenor saxophonist, Wardell Gray, all headed our way. Right now, Bobby Hutcherson, the album called Stick Up on Blue Note Records, Joe Henderson playing tenor sax, McCoy Tyner at the piano, Herbie Lewis the bassist, Smilin' Billy, Billy Higgins drums, and their version of an Ornette Coleman tune called Una Muy Bonita on KPR.